Chapter 9. On the Reason Rally. I distrust those people who know so well what God wants them to do because I notice it always coincides with their own desires. Susan B. Anthony. Power is not only what you have, but what the enemy thinks you have. Saul Alinsky. The first atheist rally on the Mall in Washington was the Godless Americans March on Washington, GAMOW, in 2002, sponsored mainly by American atheists but also involving the Council for Secular Humanism and quite a few other organizations. This event boasted 2,500 attendees, which we considered a huge success. A subsequent Atheist in Foxholes march was much less successful. It was held during the week, so few people came out, and it looked bad following the GAMOW. In 2010, Margaret Downey, my friend and president of the Freethought Society, was pushing the concept of a movement-wide convention. It didn't have much support, but she was absolutely correct on the need for unity to achieve the common goal of advancing secularism and reason in America. Rather than a convention, I felt we needed a movement-wide rally that promoted unity within the movement while also raising public awareness. We needed another GAMOW, only this time with the whole movement involved. At the 2010 HEADS meeting, HEADS was an annual meeting of the leaders of the secular movement, I floated the idea of a movement rally. I was not officially suggesting we create the rally or that I run it. I was just throwing the concept out there, but the idea was immediately supported by movement leaders Roy Speckhart, Fred Edwards, Bobby Kirkhart, and soon Richard Dawkins. With that much oomph behind me, I prepared to propose the rally formally at a future meeting. At a long table at a hotel restaurant where the subsequent heads meeting was held, I outlined my idea to the 25 to 30 leaders attending from all across the movement. The idea, which I then called the 40 Million Reason Rally, garnered more support than I had anticipated. The movement was ready for this, and, more important, it seemed ready for me to run it, which I had not expected. Details began coming together, and more organizations came on board. The Brights, the Society for Humanistic Judaism, the Secular Coalition for America, Atheist Alliance. We formed a board and invited the entire heads group as a default list for sponsorship. We offered two sponsorship levels, one for larger groups that could afford to pay more, and one for smaller groups to ensure they would not be excluded. With six major sponsors, we focused on a single location, 10,000-person event with a budget of $150,000. A shoestring budget for sure, but enough to make something happen. And then in walked Todd Stiefel. Todd is a philanthropist with a keen business sense and a clear view of the big picture. He knew the rally was going to be important, and he knew it was going to need to be successful. If the rally was a failure, it would not be forgotten like the Atheists in Foxholes event. Fox News would see to that. He knew, as did we all, this needed to succeed for many reasons and on many levels. We needed a band. We also needed a producer. I was insistent on this, since I didn't have any experience and this was no place for beginners. So, Todd called me one day and pledged six figures to the event. I think it's important to underscore how much this changed things. It not only kept me away from the blatant conflict of interest of raising funds for a multi-organizational event while also being president of American Atheists, but it also highlighted to other donors just how much they could impact the movement. Todd's donation changed everything. All would-be philanthropists need to understand the huge marginal impact their donations can have on this movement versus those movements with far larger budgets. So the rally began to take on a life of its own. In these early days, the event's personality was in flux. What kind of event was it going to be? I remember one evening I told two of my closest friends about this upcoming protest/rally that might happen. They wished me the best of luck, but indicated tactfully that rallies and protests weren't their thing, and they probably wouldn't make it to D.C. So I asked, what if it was a party or a celebration, the largest atheist party ever? One quickly replied, oh, I'd definitely be into that. I flashed back to the parties and the pub crawls at conventions I'd attended and realized and remembered that fun was the draw more so than the speakers. This was not to be a protest. This was to be a happy event. The celebration in the event tagline, "A Celebration of Secular Values," came from this discussion and impacted my attitude throughout the life of the event. The sponsors were lined up. The band Bad Religion signed. The Reason Rally was on budget. The movement was behind us. Things were getting busy. As an aside, I had the pleasure of having dinner in 2011 with Christopher Hitchens at his last public appearance. I'd exchanged emails with him several times, but during this convention we had our one and only one-on-one conversation. He knew about the upcoming rally by then, and I invited him to speak. He looked at me with expressive eyes and said, "I'll not likely make it." I told him that I would save a place for him and that if the day came and he woke up able to come to the rally, he could come down and I would put him on stage without his even calling first. He smiled and thanked me, and our conversation diverged. He died before the rally, and Seth Andrews put together a great video in tribute. But how many people would come? Well, we needed a few famous people, perhaps from outside the movement, and fortunately, we were able to get Paul Provenza, a fantastic MC, Tim Minchin, Adam Savage, and Eddie Izzard. We had our draw. But how many people would come? This question came up more and more frequently, and we still had no idea. We were saying 10,000, and that seemed right. After all, 10,000 is a lot of people. It's what we originally proposed, and still far more than attended Gamow. So 10,000 is what we started telling everyone was our goal. The truth was we had no idea. I knew if we were going to get even that many, we needed more buzz, and that meant we needed news. The problem was the Reason Rally Coalition, even though I was president, was not going to place billboards that would get any real press because so many of the participants were not firebrand organizations and would oppose ads with edge. This is when I pulled out an idea I'd had a while back, billboards targeting Islam and Judaism. The concept was simple. We needed to challenge Islam on its own turf and dispel any idea that it had some kind of post-9/11 protection from all criticism. I realized that if we posted the same message to Muslims and Jews at the same time, we would get each community watching each other. I figured the Islamists wouldn't freak out if we were saying the exact same thing to the Jews and the Jews weren't freaking out. I felt quite strongly that if we didn't do something to confront the veils against criticism for both these religions, they would just get more difficult to pierce. It worked. We put up two billboards saying, "You know it's a myth and you have a choice," in Arabic in a Muslim neighborhood and in Hebrew in a Jewish neighborhood, and issued a statement which read, "The purpose of these boards is to raise the awareness of the Reason Rally to the atheists in those communities." The press went crazy, as we knew it would. It was a great story with a great message, and every report carried a mention of the Reason Rally. And nobody rioted or even protested, except the Jewish landowner who refused to allow our billboard on his property and made us move down the street. The rally was advertised over the national news networks, the buzz around the rally became a roar, and the veil against criticizing Islam and Judaism was pierced. Time grew short. With 2 weeks to go, the long-range weather forecast was for a bright, sunny day. Curse you, long-range weather people. Day by day, the forecast got worse. Occasional showers became occasional thunderstorms. Then just thunderstorms. So going into the event, it was going to be expensive, sparsely attended, and fucking rainy. Will there be a rain date? People posted on our Facebook page asking about alternative venues and dates. Nope. Rain or shine, bring ponchos. It rained on Woodstock too. I knew that was a lame response, but it's where we were. A rally in the rain. Hopefully some people would still come. The Wednesday before, all was well and set at American Atheists. The skeletal staff of two had shipped everything, both for the Reason Rally and the American Atheist National Convention, which would follow on its heels. My car was packed, and I left for D.C., Clouds were on the horizon, the forecast sucked, and all I was hoping for was that the few people who would show would actually have fun. After all, the lineup was great, so how bad could it be? I walked into the hotel where the convention was being held and immediately spotted some familiar faces. It was nice to see smiles. Oh, and they showed me their umbrellas to underscore their dedication to coming and staying, no matter what the weather. That was great the first time, and the second, and the third. From there, it grew. Strangers and members showed up wearing ponchos, posts on the Facebook wall and my Twitter, buy lots of ponchos and give them away. These became a badge of honor demonstrating defiance against the weather. These activists, my activists, were coming. But how many? We knew we could use the weather as an excuse if the crowd didn't show. The rest of Thursday and Friday were a blur, almost as if they didn't happen. The next thing I knew, it was Saturday. It was time. We arrived at 8:30 a.m. for a 10 a.m. start. The crowd was already assembling. I looked out and I saw a few familiar faces in the VIP area, took a few pictures from the stage, and ran out into the VIP area to shake some of the early birds' hands. I saw my buddies who'd come all the way from New Jersey set up on the lawn. They'd come for the celebration, and I intended to deliver. But I had no time to exchange anything but nods with them. The videos started playing. People started cheering, and I had to run back to prepare to start the show. The rain came. I hated that rain. That rain was going to screw with my rally. I remember it got progressively worse over a short period, deluging the early birds and just pissing me off even more. But while I wasn't looking, the crowds came too. With umbrellas and ponchos in hand, they filled the place up and overflowed onto the sidewalks and the next park section. So what was the final tally? In the end, we estimated 30,000 in that rain. That's more than for the Glenn Beck rally, although our friends at Fox News called ours a little rally about nothing. More than we'd hoped, given the weather. 30,000 smiles on the faces of cold, wet, wonderful activists making a statement to the country en masse in the rain. We are here. At one point early on, a staffer came backstage and caught my eye. I thought she had a new problem for me to fix, and I was ready to handle whatever it was. The donation tent wasn't up. The American Atheists booth was not functional. The sponsors are angry. I was ready for anything, except what I got. It's all good. Really? Yes. Everything is fine, Dave. She shrugged. She had obviously expected the same problems I had and was seemingly just as amazed to say there weren't any as I was to hear it. That's when I looked out on the crowd, now all the way back to the tents and beyond. In the rain, smiling and cheering, the weight lifted and all was well. The rally would be better than expected, and I began to have fun. Lots of fun. Indeed, words cannot convey how much of a good time I had that day. It was all of us atheists making the loudest and boldest statement on atheism in American history. It was everything we dreamed of. The plan had come together. After dancing with my wife to Bad Religion behind the band, it was over, and I gave the goodbye speech, for which I had not planned, so it came straight from the heart. And then it was done. Then it was history. But it was far from the end. Since the rally, I have been getting tweets and wall posts about people I've never met coming out, attending their first meetup, or joining the movement. A snowball effect is still happening. One of the most important accomplishments of the rally was the cooperation among the organizations. In the past, we had worked against each other, and the result was stagnation. The rally was the first time in our movement's history that all the major organizations worked together toward a common goal, and the result was a huge success, and our supporters showed their emphatic approval. If the organizations want the continued support of their members, we'd better be ready and willing to do it again. And again. But why is the Reason Rally an example of firebrand atheism? It went where we were not, Washington, D.C. It used the press for publicity, especially with the Arabic and Hebrew billboards. It spurred cooperation between the groups, making us stronger as a movement, making us appear larger as a movement, and fostering future events. It told the truth and did not apologize for being atheistic. The pride in our atheism was very apparent. It showed our breadth and the big picture to all the attendees. Every side of atheism was represented. It provided a platform for firebrand and diplomat alike, and we mutually delighted in our diversity of approach. It showed and motivated activism, spurring people to join the movement at an unprecedented level. It allowed us to shout. It allowed us to be heard. Perhaps most importantly, it's happening again. Stay tuned for Reason Rally 2 in June of 2016. ReasonRally.org.